Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company.
Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun, financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. I'm your host, Veronica Edwards, and always excited to be back here on BizRadio.us for season three. Always want to thank the V team for spending their precious time downloading the podcast and providing feedback. And I wouldn't be here without the support of all those that are listening to the show. And today's show, I'm super excited because it is not only one of our quarterly segments, but it is the Black History version of Small Biz Hot Topics with co-host and friend to the show, COO of Cassie Electric, which I always have to give the blurb, which is a part of Black History because Cassie Electric is the only minority female-owned electrical business in the state of South Carolina. And also they just got named the best small business for the Greenville Chamber. So Miss Ebony Sullivan, welcome. Congratulations.
Woo-woo. Thank you, girl. Thank you.
All this hard work. I mean, we were just talking yesterday. Wow. Since 2020, since you've taken over the reins as COO at Cassie Electric, you guys have always gotten Small Business of the Month and always had your name in the hat to be Small Business of the Year. So how are you feeling that after really just 3 years that you guys were able to achieve this amazing feat?
This is like a full circle moment. I mean, we are so excited and can't even believe it because we, like you said, have been trying year after year to grow the business and get our name in the hat for some really big awards to just pat us on the back for the hard work and accomplishments that we've done and to actually win because we competed last year and we didn't win the award. But this year we won and we're really excited to be able to receive this award. It just means a lot.
Wow, that's huge. So what else, before we get started on our Black History segment, what else is in store for Cassie Electric in 2024?
Oh my God, I don't even know where to start. It's crazy around here. When you grow the company, it is insane to see how many things that you need to do. Every time you think you've got one thing done, man, it's something new that comes up. So this year we've shuffled some chairs. We're hiring an executive assistant. We're also looking for, we just hired a new electrical foreman. We are developing a sales team this year. So we've got a lot of work to do this year.
And, you know, shout out to Cassandra Brayboy, the owner of Cassie Electric. We're also trying to retire mom. We're trying to get mom to ease on out to the sunset, correct?
Girl, let's talk about mom who goes to pickleball 3 days a week, child. You know how hard that was to get her there. So we are real excited to see that she's now blocking off her calendar and she's doing things for her and that we get her availability rather than having to constantly pull her up off the bench. So that was one of the biggest goals for our company, was to get mom to retirement, and to see that she is at least 60% there is real, real exciting for us.
Wow. To me, outside of any of the awards, that's the biggest goal in a family-owned business, is to retire the matriarch or the patriarch or whoever started the business. And now you're running it and your beautiful daughter, Jylin, is following in your footsteps, doing an amazing job as well. So let's jump into today's Black History edition of Small Biz Hot Topics. And we really wanted to focus on Black female entrepreneurs, because Ebony, as you know, sis, being a double minority in 2024, some people are like, well, things are better. We've had a Black president. The lies you tell.
The lies, aren't they lies?
if not, it's even harder, you know? So we definitely want to give these ladies their flowers and honor some of the women, Black women, who paved the way for us. So Ebony, can you kick us off with our first Black female entrepreneur for Black History Month?
Yeah, I would love to. So our first person we would like to honor is Madam C.J. Walker. I don't know if you've seen her Netflix special, honey, but that thing was a whole woman, okay? In 1967, she was born and into the
world. Well, not 1967.
I'm sorry, but 1867. Wow, we need to give her a whole lot of years back, right?
I understand.
But in 1867, she was born. She was an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, and an activist. Madam C.J. Walker rose out of poverty from the South and became the first African-American woman to become a millionaire. Can we talk about that? A millionaire in 1800s? Uh-huh. That's insane. Miss Madam Walker, if you have not seen her Netflix special, you should totally watch it, because it just shows the power in a determined woman who knew that her life was bigger than slavery or poverty, that she had a dream and a vision, and she was willing to persevere and push forward to do that. And in doing that, she started selling products for door to door. I mean, her hair had fallen out, and she was trying to figure out how to get this thing to grow back from all the stress and the things that was going on in her life. And figuring out how to develop this product here started her expansion of her business. She went door to door, and then she started to develop what we call a sales team. But she trained thousands of women on how to really become solopreneurs, in a sense. And over by the end of 1917, she had trained nearly 20,000 women. Like, that's 400 women a year that she employed and trained. That is, now, if that's not empowerment. Now, that's boss right there.
I was going to say, let's talk about all that, because you dropped a lot of jewels on that. And I just want to throw some historical facts in. We have to remember the 13th Amendment that abolishes slavery happened in 1865. So for her to be born in 1867 and to be just coming out of slavery, which we know was still slavery, it was just more like we were indentured servants, but to then not only become an entrepreneur, to become a millionaire. That's where sometimes I'm telling people in 2024, get out my face talking about you can't do this and you can't do that when you have internet, you have opportunities. I mean, think about all the struggles and the, you know, resistance in the South that she had to deal with, and she still rose out of it. So I'm just like, whoa, that's motivating in itself. And Ebony, I know you can definitely relate to, now you growing your business and your focus right now is on sales. And to hear that this woman had over 20,000 women, Black women,
that's crazy,
trained. I mean, how does that make you feel when you're thinking about some of the challenges that you're going through now, just trying to find two or three or four salespeople?
Well, first, I want to acknowledge that in 2024, 3% of women-owned businesses make over $1 million.
So, and what year was that again, Ebony?
That's current. That is current events.
Just making sure.
Yes. That 3% of small businesses, women-owned, make over $1 million. And that's now. So you think about really the impact of $1 million in her era. That's insane, you know? And to think that selling, to teach somebody else how to do that, like we, like you said, we're developing a sales team, and that's just something that you've got to really have, you know. You've got to really want to be able to get in front of people and convince them that you've got a solution to their problem. And I think that in itself, that Madam Walker was able to show and prove to these women that, look, it works, which then gave them buying power in on how to get out there and convince someone else on how to do that. And so we're currently developing a sales team, trying to get them acclimated with the language of electrical, and empowering these young women and whomever else would like to join our team, because we are looking for sales reps.
Yes.
that you can do this, that is not as hard as people think sales is. It can be challenging, but it's a very competitive market, just like anything else. But you got to really just want it. You know, mm-hmm. you got to want mm-hmm. to find this many women during that era who wanted it. That's amazing.
Yeah, a true self-starter. And that's something that we've talked about quite a bit in recent Ebony with staffing, is that even within a small business, you want self-starters in your business, because everybody has to wear multiple hats. So you're not able to just supervise people, give them a script. This is what you need to do. There's going to be things that pop up. The toilet's going to break, or the phones ain't ringing, you know, all of these things that we yes. dealt with. And we're like, okay, let's figure out what's going on. And you need to have smart people around you that are willing to just say, hey, let me think about this as if it's my business. Mm-hmm. So she was very fortunate during that time to have that support. But it's something about when you see a leader that's working hard, it's infectious. So I think that had a lot to do with it. I feel like Madam CJ Walker, you know, talk the talk and walk the walk.
Absolutely. She definitely did that. She was an inspiration to other women, to show them that they too did not have to depend on men or other circumstances to rise them up in wealth or out of poverty. And she did a really good job of not only just providing them with the economics, but just the empowerment, the self-will, the uh-huh. beauty behind her cosmetics and her wanting to really make somebody feel good about themselves. Like, she did a lot.
Absolutely. So I think I definitely want to transition into Miss Maggie Lena Walker, another Walker, ironically. And Maggie Lena Walker was born in 1864 and was one of the first female business leaders, in the United States, but she came to prominence by being the first woman to own a bank in the United States. And with me being an accountant, this really caught my eye. Yes, because I don't know about you, Ebony, I've never heard of Maggie.
Never.
And so this is sometimes, as Black and brown people, we're like, hey, we always hear about, and no shade, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, but there's a lot of other so many, and especially Black females. So I definitely, when I was researching this, it really intrigued me, because I'm like, wow, this person opened up a whole bank. And, you know, Maggie really focused her efforts on accounting and math. And her first business endeavor was actually an insurance company for women. And so to think about both of these Walker ladies, they really had an emphasis on women. And sometimes you'll hear, you know, in different industries, music, sports, they always want to pit women against each other. And it just is a breath of fresh air to see, even back then, it was all about women working together. And so in 1903, she founded the St. Luke Penny Savings Bank. Mm-hmm. And Walker was the first woman of any race to charter a bank in the United States. So again, hats off to Miss Maggie Lena Walker. I mean, wow. And what I like about what I found from researching Maggie is that she was all about, you know, interracial clients. You know, she didn't just work with Black folks. Yes, it was segregated, but she worked with all kind of people. So that's really near and dear to my heart. And she also did a lot of mentorship. You know, she helped a lot of people with understanding financial literacy, something that me and Ebony both teach and coach about. And we still see how important it is in 2024. And to see back in the 1800s and early 1900s, this was already happening. So again, those that are listening, you know, you got to continue to mentor and to teach folks, because that's the only way that we're going to continue to, you know, survive, really. What are your thoughts on Miss Maggie Lena Walker, Ebony?
Miss Maggie is a boss, and I really appreciate, you know, as you always say, I'm an honorary accountant.
Yes, but, you are.
I appreciate a woman who understands math and really leans into that, because it is power, you know, understanding your finances and having the means to be able to support your family is it's the number one charge, right? And so for her, at just during this time, I mean, think, like you said, think back to what was going on and in this era, and these women were rising up, and to your point, they were leaning into each other and they were empowering one another. And for so long in our community, we talk about crabs in a bucket and how we don't support each other. And this is such historical information to let us know that, you know, that isn't, that's not the narrative that we really want to continue to create. We want to talk about how we can mentor and inspire and really work together to help other women rise up out of their circumstances, whether it's poverty or dependency or whatever that may be. I think it's really important that we lean into what the work of Madam Walker and Miss Maggie Walker have done in the past to really empower other women, particularly Black women, so that we can see our power in the community and how we really made a huge difference in shaping this world that we're living in. And so kudos to these two ladies right here. Miss Maggie is a boss.
Both Walkers are. And for the next two ladies I want to talk about, one is was based in South Carolina, one in North Carolina. So Ebony, if you could tell us about Miss Matilda A. Evans.
Oh, Miss Matilda. See, this was really exciting for me because I didn't know anything about her either. You know, it's a fun project to just be reading up on these women. But Miss Matilda Evans, in 1897, Dr. Evans became the first board certified woman physician in South Carolina. Like, pause.
Right.
A board certified woman physician. Like, we can't even find them now.
Come on.
You know how hard it is to find a Black doctor in South Carolina? My God.
I know.
She fostered relationships between Blacks and white citizens. She created two hospitals, a nurse training facility, and the Columbia Clinic, which provided free healthcare to African American children. Evans specialized in surgery, gynecology, pediatrics, and hygienics, caring for patients out of her home until she established the Taylor Lane Hospital in 1901, the first Black-owned hospital in Columbia, South Carolina. Can we just clap it up for Ms.
I'm in the mic. Let me do a clap. But you're happy. Because even now in 2024, we as Black women, I always say, like, we're the first one to get everything. You know, we're going to get high blood pressure, diabetes, we're dying, you know, in childbirth. So this was huge to have someone that looked like you, that was intelligent, but not only was the doctor, but opening a whole hospital that you can feel safe, that you know that you can get the help that you need, that you can be heard and you can be seen.
And I think that it is important for our listeners and people to know about this because there's such a disparity there. Like we need more Black and brown folks in trade, and we need more Black and brown folks in professional services like the healthcare industry. I mean, we're dying. We're out here dying, giving birth to our kids. And it's real unfortunate because there's no one there that can understand some of the challenges that we face in our community and that we can relate to, that can understand physically what we're experiencing. So kudos to Dr. Evans. She too, she's a boss.
Yes. And that leads us to another boss in the healthcare profession, Ms. Tempe Avery, who's based right here in Asheville, North Carolina. Excuse me. As a young girl, she was purchased in Charleston in 1840. So that kind of was like, ooh, because I'm from the Charleston area, by Nicholas Woofen. And anybody that lives in the Asheville area knows that we have a whole area called Woofen. And so, you know, during that time, she became a midwife. And not only did she deliver babies for Black folks, she also did it for white folks in Asheville. But after the Civil War, I thought it was great that Mr. Woofen deeded his property to Tempe. And if you go there now, 26 Pearson Drive, it's in her honor. And in 2017, a century after her death, Asheville named the Montfort Center after her in her honor. So I think that's huge. But I just love hearing, when I was doing the research, some of the historical parts of it. And in a local paper in 1914, it kind of said that it was this colored professional nurse who has a large number of friends and, you know, sharing all these stories and all these amazing things. And I think sometimes we take for granted that a lot of these accomplishments would not happen if there weren't white counterparts, even though there was segregation and all this stuff. You can tell that Mr. Woodfin cared and loved for this person. And yes, we know part of our history with slavery is an ugly thing, but at the same time, a lot of beautiful things came out of it. We wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be able to do some of the things that we were doing if it wasn't for folks like Nicholas Woodfin that gave that opportunity to Tempe. So sometimes we do have to kind of sit back and be like, clearly there were people along the way that helped these women, just like people have helped us along the way. But we want to definitely give the flowers to those ladies. And Ebony, we definitely have an honorable mention before we wrap up the show. And I'll let you have the honors of this last beautiful Black woman that we want to honor during Black History Month.
So shout out and huge honor to Cassandra Brayboy, my mother and founder of Cassie Electric. Not only are we the only woman-owned minority electrical contracting company in the entire state of South Carolina, but my mother also is the founder and owner of Just For Today Women's Recovery, where we help women who are dealing with the disease of addiction and homelessness. There's four homes. We help 25 women on a rolling basis, where we provide them with housing and transportation and helping them to get their lives back in order. She is an electrician, ladies and gentlemen. She stood over the backs of men who wanted her to go get coffee and learn the trade, but she insisted on it. She learned it and she grew her business doing that. And so shout out to the boss, Cassie Brayboy, because she too is a pioneer and a trailblazer in this space.
Absolutely. I want to personally thank Miss Cassandra. You know, I'm on the payroll. I do the books for Cassie Electric. I was on the board for Just For Today for a little while, and it's just been an honor and a privilege to be able to provide accounting for Cassie Electric. And just like Ebony stated, with there being some changes in seats and changing things, I'm trying to move more in a strategic role and assisting Ebony more in like a fractional CFO, as well as providing bookkeeping. But again, Ms. Brayboy is providing income for so many families and for generations to come. So I thought it would be most fitting to definitely end the show with shedding light on Cassie Electric, over 30 years of experience, led by a beautiful Black woman from New York. Shout out to New York.
Brooklyn in the house.
All day. And, you know, and she's right here in the Carolinas. And Ebony, you know, it's not easy to be, you know, in the boys club, the good old boys club. And you guys do it with class and you do it professionally. And again, I just, there's nothing nobody can say bad to me about Cassie Electric.
I sure do appreciate you, V. Thanks again for always supporting us and being here with us.
Absolutely. Well, Ebony, we're to the end of our Black History show. It was great. And I really appreciate you taking the time to research. I will encourage all the listeners to do your own research. Try to research people that we haven't always been taught in school. There's a reason why we've only been taught certain things. There's a lot of amazing things that all people have done, but during this month especially, really research some of the achievements of those that are of our melanin color, you know, our Black folks in Black History Month, because there's a lot of things that I feel like go unsaid. A lot of times we want to point the finger or we want to say things that are bad, but this month I really want people to take time to really give flowers to those that have made a difference. So again, thank you, Ms. Sullivan, for taking time out of your busy day. And I definitely want to thank the V team, all the listeners for tuning into bizradio.us for the Veronica Edwards Show on Wednesdays across all platforms. And if you missed the live airing, you can listen to all prior shows at veronicaedwards.buzzsprout.com.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.